I want to read from Matthew 16. We will begin this reading from verse 13. This will be what we will use for a subject tonight. I want the Lord to have His way. We are not here to intimidate nor to impersonate anybody or their faith or religious belief. We do remind you that we are dutifully bound by the Word of God to speak the Word of God. And I intend to follow that. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So if we say anything that crosses what you believe, we are saying it in love, Ephesians 4:15. And as Brother Cannon said the other night in 1 Corinthians 13, it must be reminded that charity, which is love, rejoiceth in the truth. And if you've got the real love of God, when you hear the Word of God preached, you'll rejoice in it. And if it's in the Bible, it's got to be right. I pledge to stay in the Word of God. From Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" A search for the identity of Christ, a personal revelation, an understanding of who He is central to your salvation, basic to your religious experience. You've got to know who Jesus is to be saved. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I think I can answer that question. How about you tonight? Let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Everybody pray and everybody ask Him to bless His Word. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I'll let you be seated after you answer this question. Tell me the name of the Father.
Jesus.
The name of the Son.
Jesus.
The name of the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
The name of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Jesus.
The name of Alpha and Omega, Amen, Angel, Ancient of Days, Anointed, Apostle, Apple Tree, Arm of the Lord.
Jesus.
Babe, beginning of the creation of God, begotten of the Father, beloved, Bishop, blessed, blameless, bridegroom, bright morning star.
Jesus.
Captain of our salvation.
Jesus.
Child.
Jesus.
Shepherd.
Jesus.
Chief cornerstone.
Jesus.
First and last.
Jesus.
Which is and was and is to come.
Jesus.
The Almighty.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! You may be seated. To begin with, we must make some things clear. Jesus is not the second person of the so-called Trinity, for the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. It is impossible for the second person to be conceived by the third person to be called the son of the first person. You don't have your children that way. Jesus was begotten by the Holy Ghost. Luke 1:35, Matthew 1 verse 20. And yet He was called the Son of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, John 3 verse 16, and 2 John verse number 2 and 3. Therefore, you must take and make a decision. He cannot have two fathers. Malachi 2:10, have not we all one Father? Have not one God created us? Matthew 6, 9 said, Our Father which art in heaven, not our fathers. There is one God the Father. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. One God and Father of all. Ephesians 4, verse 6. So either Jesus Christ was the Son of God or He was the Son of the third person of the most blessed Holy Trinity, some say. We must now tell you there is not a Trinity of persons. There are not three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. For that is a misnomer and a mistaken statement. There are not two persons in the Godhead. There are not one, not even one person in the Godhead. That is a statement of contradiction. It assumes there's other than person or persons in Godhead. But rather, Colossians 2:9 said of Jesus, in Him, not them, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, we must say to you, the Godhead is in a person, and that person's name is Jesus. The officers said about Him, 7:46 John, never a man spake like this man. The centurion, when he was dying at the foot of the cross, said these words, 27:54 Matthew, truly this was the Son of God. The disciples said about Him when they were in a storm in a boat and Jesus was asleep and they awakened Him with the frantic cry, Carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and stilled the wind and calmed the angry waves. Mark 4:41, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him? Micah, who pinpointed with amazing accuracy his exact geographical location of the birthplace of Christ, Micah 5 verse 2, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus staggered the mind of the Jews when He said, John 8:58, Before Abraham was, I am. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Again He said, 10 of Luke verse 18, I and my Father are one. John 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 14 verse 9 and 15 verse 24, Now have they both seen and heard both me and my Father. In proper English, if there were two persons, but there's not, therefore it's proper. Have they both seen and heard both me and my Father? The word both cannot refer to two persons because the same word both is used in Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. It refers to His many offices, many titles of His deity, but there is one person of God. There is one God who was Father in creation. Genesis 1:1, Colossians 1:16 and 17, Son in redemption, in the book of Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1 verse 21 to 23, and the Holy Ghost in the church, Colossians 1:27, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Philippians 1:19, Galatians 2:20, John 14:18 and verse 20, 17:26 of John, 4:6 of Galatians. I submit to you, there is one Spirit, Ephesians 4:4, and God is a Spirit, John 4:24, and the Lord is that Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17, and there isn't but one Lord, Ephesians 4, 5, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and the one Lord is the true God, Jeremiah 10, 10, and Saul of Tarsus said, who? In Acts 9, 5, art thou Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thou art He that the prophets spake that should come. In the book of Genesis 49, verse 10, Jacob prophesied, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I'm here to tell you, Shiloh has come. And the people are being gathered. 15:13 of Acts, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Moses in the book of Deuteronomy 18:15 said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. He prophesied of a prophet to come. Well, He's come. His name is Jesus. And He's right here, right now, trying to call you out of sin that you might be saved. The Bible tells me Isaiah spoke of Him in 7:14, telling us He would be called Emmanuel, which Matthew interpreted 1:23, being God with us. And 1 Timothy 3:16 said, great is the mystery of God, unless God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was the visible side of the invisible God. He is the head of all principality and power, Colossians 2:10. He's the head of the body of the church, Ephesians 1:22, 23, Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the only God you'll ever lay an eyeball on. He's the first and the last, which is, was, is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1, verse 8, namely the Alpha and Omega. And Isaiah called him 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God in the form of man. But if you were to ask in a religious poll, who do you think Jesus is? You would receive all kinds of answers. In the occult, which take him to be nothing but just a good man. Others may be a prophet like Mohammed, they say. He's just another individual that's lived, who did in a certain way help alleviate the problems of mankind. He would become that place that Buddhists call Nirvana, a state of passionless peace. He would become a karma, or that which helps you off of the endless wheel of reincarnation. But let me preach to you, friend. Jesus is not Nirvana, and He is not a karma. He's not an old cow out in the pasture. And He's not a crocodile, nor is He an oak tree for you to bow down and worship. He is spirit that became flesh, the flesh of which died for the sin of the world. And He resurrected the body again, ascended on high and led captivity captive, and came back on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit baptism, which is in this building right now. And I'm going to say something in furious review. Jesus was the Passover. 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. He became the Lamb. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was the offerer and the offering. In the book of Hebrews 9, verse 24 to 28 and 7:27 of Hebrews, He is the altar. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And He is the candlestick, the light. John 8 and verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He is the manna, the bread. 6:51 of John, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. He became all of that. And also the high priest. Hebrews 3:1, 4:14, 5:5, 6:20, and 8:1 of Hebrews all calls Him the high priest. I repeat, if He's the Passover, and if He's the high priest, and He's the offering and the offerer, and He ascended up as the resurrection, John rather 11 and 25, then on the day of Pentecost, He was the Holy Ghost. He is Pentecost. To the architect, He is the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6. To the artist, He's the one altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 5:16. To the artist, or rather to the astronomer, He is the bright and the morning star. Revelation 22:16. To the baker, He's the living bread. John 6:51. To the banker, He is the unsearchable riches. Ephesians 3:8. To the biologist, He's the life. He's the life. John 14:6, 11:25, 20:31 of John, 10:10 of John. Yes, to the bride, He's the bridegroom. Revelation 21:9. To the builder, He's the sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. To the carpenter, He's the nail in the door. Isaiah 22:23, John 10:9. And to, yes, if you're disconsolate or discouraged, He is the comforter, John 14:18. If you are a doctor, He is 5:14 of James. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. 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 He is the great physician. To the educator, He is the superb teacher. John 3:2. The engineer, He is the new and the living way. Hebrews 10, verse 20. The farmer, He's the Lord of the harvest, 9 and 38 of Matthew. The florist, the rose of Sharon, Song of Solomon 2:1. To the friendless, He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. To the genealogist, He's the name, Philippians 2:9 through 11 speaks, that's above every name that is named. Not only in this world, Ephesians 1:23, but also in that which is to come. To the geologist, He's the rock of ages. Isaiah 26:4, marginal reading. To the king, He is the king of kings and the lord of lords. Revelation 19, verse 16. To the jurist, He's the faithful and true witness. 3:14 of Revelation. To the judge, He's the righteous judge. Second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8. To the lawyer, He's the counselor and the advocate. Isaiah 9:6, 1 John 2:1. To the lonely, He's the abiding companion. Hebrews 13, verse 5. To the musician, He is the new song. Revelation 5:9. To the newspaper man, He is the good tiding of great joy. Luke 2, verse 10. To the oculist, He's the light of the eye. 4:16 of the book of Matthew. May I say to the philanthropist, He's the unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. To the philosopher, He's the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. The photographer, He's the express image of His person. Or as another version quotes Hebrews 1:3, He is the exact representation of His nature. To the potter, He's the vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:21. To the pilgrim, He's the way. John 14, verse number 6. To the preacher, preacher. He is the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13, 11 to 13, and John 1, 1, and verse number 14. To the ruler, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1, 5. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. First book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 4 through 6. And yes, to the student, he is the incarnate truth. John 1, 14. To the servant, the good master. Ephesians 4, or 6, and verse 9. To the slave, he's the Redeemer, Galatians 3:13. And to the statesman, the desire of all nations, Haggai 2, verse number 7 through 9. Oh, to the traveler, he's the new and the living way. In the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 20. To the toiler, he is the giver of rest. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. To the thirsty, he is the water of life. John 4 and verse number 10. To the unclean, he is the fountain of cleansing. Zechariah 13 and 1. To the weak, he is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 24. To the widow, the husband, 54, 5 of Isaiah. And the beat goes on and on and on and on. But when you really get to know Him, He's Jesus. When you really get to know Him, He's Jesus. When you really get to know Him, He's Jesus. When you really get to know Him, He's the Messiah. He's the healer and deliverer of your soul. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Ephesians 1:17 speaks of a spirit of revelation. Now the Bible is God's book, and to understand God's book you need God's Spirit. And the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Therefore, if you want to know who Jesus is, start praying for the Holy Spirit. And start reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will unlock the treasures of His Word. You are not complete with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For I read in 14, 17, 16, 13 of the book of John, howbeit when He, the Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You can have the Holy Ghost and not have all truth. It is given to show you what truth is. And if you reject truth, you're rejecting that Spirit you say you got. If you love the Spirit of God, then you will love the Word of God. For the Spirit and the Word agree. The Word is the Spirit made flesh. The Word is a visible representation of the invisible God. Therefore, my friend, you need a spirit of revelation that will show you who Jesus really is. Who He really is. Simon Peter told Jesus who He was. Jesus said, Well, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Petrus, a little insignificant pebble. And upon this Petra, huge immovable stone, I will build my church. Ecclesia, church. Ecclesia, Greek meaning called out ones. Now this is a verse that's been often misinterpreted. Some say the church was built on Peter. That's a bunch of nonsense. Because Peter referred himself in two separate occasions. Acts 4 verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in 1 Peter 2, 4, Peter wrote to the people and said, To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So Peter was not the one on whom the church of the New Testament was built. Yes, he had a revelation and an understanding of who Jesus was. And it takes that today. But the church is not built on a man. The church is not built on humanism. The church is built on Jesus Christ. It is His church. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's washed in His blood. Revelation 1:5, on Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. It was baptized in Jesus' own name. Acts 2:38, 8:16, 19:5, 10:48 of Acts, 6:3 of Romans, 3:27 Galatians, 2:12 of Colossians. And the church is His body. Ephesians 1:22 and 23, Colossians 1 verse number 18, and there's not but one body. Ephesians 4:4, 12:5 of Romans 1, first book of Corinthians 12:13. The church is not the body of Peter, Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Andrew, Luke, Philip, Bartholomew, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, Silas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. The church is not an organization, nor it is a wild march hare. The church is the body of Christ. It belongs to Jesus. It's His church. So He told Peter, and I say also unto thee, thou art an insignificant stone, and upon this huge immovable rock myself, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades are the compartment of the departed dead souls of those who died physically, which there were two parts, those that were lost and those that were saved. Those that are saved have been took up now. Paradise is up. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4 teaches us, he that ascended is the same also that descended, first and lower parts of the earth. And led captivity captive. Paradise is up in the immediate presence of God. So therefore, that compartmentalization of Hades no longer has in bondage the souls of the saints of the living God. For He set them free when He died and descended into the lower parts of the earth. And Revelation 1:17, He told John when he looked upon him, fell at his feet as dead, I am Alpha and Omega, verse 17, the beginning and the end, and have the keys of death and of hell. He walked into the devil's own house and said, give me the keys to your kingdom. Jesus has the keys. Praise God. So He said, I will build my church. Called out ones. Now, we come down to a contest of the will. If you want to be in the church, you must obey the call of the gospel. 2:39 of Acts speaks the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And Revelation 22:17 speaks, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 6:37 of John, him that cometh to me I'll no wise cast out. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. 19:10 of Luke, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hear me, my friend, if you want to be in the church, you can be in the church. If you want to wear the name of Jesus, you can wear the name of Jesus. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have the Holy Ghost. For Jesus said, I will build my church. It takes God to have revival. John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And except the Lord watch the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It takes a move of God to have revival. It takes the Spirit of God to heal the sick. It takes the Holy Ghost to deliver you from alcohol and drinking, cursing, lying, whoremongering, uncleanness of flesh, body, soul, and spirit. It takes a real move of the Holy Ghost to deliver you from the bondage of sin. But I want to serve notice on this world that Jesus has come, and in the midst of this ungodly and perverse nation, He is calling out from the Gentiles a people that will wear His name, and He'll make a church out of them. A church out of a ragtag band of unclean, perverse, diabolical, ungodly, dirty, filthy, low down, unclean, immoral, unregenerate, polluted, contaminated, condemned, damned, doomed, depleted, debauched, debased, immoral, ungodly, filthy, putrid. My God, out of such scum and slime and out of that sewer pipe comes a church. You hear me now? I hear the Word of God say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I hear the Word of God say, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, the raw material of the church and future saints are nothing more than the ungodly scum and filth of the world that the Lord can take and run through His name and blood and spirit and cleanse them and make them fit candidates for heaven. Praise God, everybody! Aren't you glad you don't have to be a graduate of the University of Arkansas to go to heaven? Aren't you glad you don't have to have $10 million in cold cash hidden in an old paper bag under your bed to go to heaven? Aren't you glad you don't have to know and have and possess a Rolls Royce and a castle on a hilltop in order to go to heaven? Aren't you glad you don't have to have Rockefeller or Rothschild or J.P. Morgan or Jay Gould's blood running in your veins in order to go to heaven? Aren't you glad you don't have to understand Einstein's theory of relativity in order to go to heaven? Aren't you glad all it took was your repentance, was your water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the operation of God, and He'll put you in the church, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God! 1 Corinthians 1:26 tells me, you see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. So don't sit there saying, well, when I become self-accomplished and a success, I can come and give Christ my heart. But then you'll have so much pride and ego, it will be beneath your dignity to bend on your knee and repent of your sins. It's when you realize your utter sinfulness. You realize your uncleanness. You realize you're lost without Jesus and His blood and His name. When you come to that realization, you better strike while the fire's hot. If you're at that point tonight, I wouldn't let a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or any family member keep me away from the altar. I'd say I want to be in that church that the gates of hell won't prevail against. I want to be in that church that's the body of Christ. I want to be in that group that wears His name, that is filled with His Spirit. And upon this rock I will build my church, not YMCA or peanut brittle factory, nor did He say a gymnasium, nor did He say a Christian school. He said He wasn't building Kmarts or automobile agencies, nor did He say He was building big cathedrals. Thank God for nice buildings, but you that have only that on your brain have missed the central focal point of the gospel. The church is the people, the baptized, individualized body of Christ, which are members in particular. Hallelujah! Two or three of them get together under a leaking old maple tree or oak tree can have church. Oh, upon this rock I'll build my church. I'll build my church. I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Is he doing it? and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He was telling them, as he did again in another version of John's writing, by the way, 20:23, John, whosoever sins you remit, they'll remit it unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they'll retain. He was not giving popish infallibility or some vicar of Christ to speak with an edict of inerrancy. No. He was simply saying, I'm making an agreement with you, a covenant with you. It's going to be my church. But when you preach my gospel and baptize in my name, be readily assured I'll stand by the covenant and by the agreement. If you baptize him in an old creek or out in a pond on a farm or in a baptismal pool in the church house, don't worry about it. When you take them to the water and put them down in the name of Jesus, that's above every name that's named, heaven will honor the agreement and their sins will be remitted. That is what he was saying. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 21. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. For faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. It's foolishness for me to preach Trinitarianism. It's foolishness for me to preach Jesus was God's little son doing God's dirty work, when the Bible tells me completely that Jesus said in Matthew 28 verse 18 that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Psalm 62:11 said, God spoke once, twice, I've heard this, that power belongs unto God. If there was another deity apart from Jesus Christ, or God apart from Jesus Christ, he hasn't got any power. For Jesus said he had all power, and he's the head of principality and power. Oh, it's foolishness for me to stand up here and tell you that there's no Holy Spirit baptism, when the Bible says in Acts 2:39, the promises unto you and to your children and all that are afar off. And God cannot lie. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18. And the Lord not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. I don't care what any man tells you. You can have what Jesus said you can have. The keys were in the hands of the apostles. Not the cardinals or the archbishops, but the apostles. The original 12. And the church is built, 2:20 Ephesians, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I don't care how big your church is or how learned your preacher is, with a DD, double LD, and a PhD, and drives an LTD. I don't care what his name is. If he's not preaching the apostles' doctrine, he's not preaching the truth. Acts 2:42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2 said of some people that they were not mindful of the commandment of us, the apostles. 1 Corinthians 3:11 said, other foundation can no man lay than that his laid, which is Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, 2 Timothy 2:19. So quit trying to shake something that's unshakable. Quit trying to change something that's unchangeable. Quit trying to reverse something that's irreversible. Quit trying to alter something that's unalterable. God's word is not a nose of wax to be shaped by the fingers of passion. I don't know who you are here tonight, but I bind your compromising spirit. And I'm going to tell you in the name of Jesus, it's the Lord's church. It was bought by His blood and baptized in His name and filled with His Spirit. And if you're going to be in it, you're going to preach the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet of spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, in the last verse, Paul said, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct it? Come on, Fancy Frank, Dandy Don. Come on, Big Mama. Come on, Know-It-All. Walking roughshod over the Word of God, saying, well, I think this and I think that, and I believe this and I believe that. It don't make any difference what you believe. Not the snap of your little finger. You think you're so smart you could probably tell God a thing or two, don't you? Well, the Lord God said through Paul, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, and acknowledge the things I write unto you, the commandments of the Lord. And he said again, if any man here in 1 Corinthians 2 in the last verse, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. Then Paul went on to say, we have the mind of Christ. Not the mind of Peter, not the mind of James or John or Matthew. But Paul said he had the mind of Christ. Everybody said, mind of Christ. How did Paul water baptize with the mind of Christ? Glad you asked. Acts 19 verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus with the mind of Christ. If your preacher's got the mind of Christ, he'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If he don't, he thinks he's smarter than Paul. And that's the problem with so many churches today. They want to do their own little thing. We're to contend for the faith which is once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude verse 3. There is but one faith. Everybody said amen, please. Eh? You better say amen. Ephesians 4, 5 said there's one faith. 2 Timothy 4 verse 6 through 8. One of the verses, namely verse 7. I know I'm going fast, but I got a lot of ground to cover. And I've already been told before church, I hope I don't preach too long. And it seems like everybody picks that up about me here lately. Brother Lumpkin said for me that when I preached the camp meeting, he said, and I just remember, for a sermon to be immortal, it don't have to be eternal. Well, that's all right. But I got something in my gizzard tonight. I'm going to try to preach it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul on his dying days said, I have kept the faith. Do you think he meant a belief in God? Oh, there's a God out there floating somewhere on a puffy cloud. No, he didn't believe an intellectual concept that there was a God, a supreme being somewhere. It meant he kept a set of principles. He believed in a certain prescribed set of principles. That 6:17 of Romans declared, God, we thank that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You can't just believe any old thing and be saved. There is a form of doctrine. I'm trying to. Praise God. All right. Jesus told Peter, I'll give you the keys. You don't have the keys. No reflection, but there's not a religious leader today that has the keys. Your pastor don't have the keys. I'm not insulting any man, but I'm telling you, he don't have the keys. The Pope don't have the keys. The Archbishop of Canterbury, he don't have the keys. And silly old Khomeini the Meanie, he sure enough don't have the keys. And those Hare Krishna boys with the Mohican haircut selling flowers, they don't have them either. Alexander Campbell didn't have the keys. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young didn't have the keys. Mary Baker Eddy didn't have the keys. The Fox sisters didn't have the keys. And silly old Mr. Mooney, he sure don't have the keys. And your mama don't have the keys. Your daddy don't have the keys. Come on, you chimney corner spouting scripturalizers. Come on, you almanac believers. Your daddy don't have the keys. You might be henpecked, but believe me, your wife don't have them either. And also, Mr. Macho, you don't have them either. Peter had the keys. Peter had the keys. Peter had the keys. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man our own tongue when we were born?
Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, who? Peter, but who? Peter, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Did he preach or did he not preach? Did his preaching prick their hearts? Verse 37, listen to me. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest. Matthew was there. Rest of the apostles. Matthew was there. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, join the church of your choice. Then Peter said unto them, blink your headlights twice if you accept Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Everybody say baptized. Say baptized. Say be baptized. Let me give you a little English lesson. Be is a passive verb. It's acted upon. It means get yourself baptized. Quit sitting there. Get yourself baptized. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of the Father and of the Son. Why, he sure did. Why, that's the way most people baptize today. And I reckon these preachers ought to know what the Lord meant. Be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what he told his disciples. Now I know that he went for them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I know they obeyed him. And that's what they did. Now, I wasn't there. I realize I'm living in 1983, and I wasn't there. And I realize Peter did say, 2 Peter 1:16, he was an eyewitness of His Majesty. I realize he was an eyewitness. And I realize it's a commandment of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. And it was the mind of the Lord. I realize that, but I'm in 1983, and I'm a graduate of a theological institute of understanding. And I know exactly what the Lord meant. He said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Acts 1 verse 2 tells me that he through the Holy Ghost gave commandments unto the apostles whom he chose. So he told them to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now that's Bible. And they went out and did that, thank you. But I've only got a little problem. I can't seem to find any place where they obey him. Because I read Acts 2:38 the other day and it said they baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. I read Acts 8:16 and it said only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I read Acts 10:48 and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I read Acts 19 verse 5, when they heard this they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I read about Paul in Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. And I read about over in the Galatian church that he told them, 3:27, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That seemed like all I could hear in the Bible. Christ. And I heard him tell the Colossians, Colossians in 2:12, buried with Him. And I couldn't find the word them there. I kept looking for them, and it said buried with Him. And Him, and Him. And everywhere I turn, it's a Him and not a them. And everywhere I look, there is but one. And it's buried with Him. Buried with Him! And I couldn't even find where anybody was ever healed with the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost pronounced over them. I couldn't even find where any devil was ever cast out with the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I began to think, man, that's mighty strange. And I began to look at that verse, and it said name. Hey, that struck me. Name. It don't say names. I looked at it again. Name. N-A-M-E. Name of the Father. Well, what do you know? There must be a name of the Father, and must be a name of the Son, and must be a name of the Holy Ghost. I looked over there, and what did my eyes see? But Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Son. No, I looked. The Son had a name. The name of the Son was not Son, but Jesus. So the name of the Father can't be Father. It's got to be something else. If the Son had a name, the Father has to have a name. Then I looked at John 5:43 in my dictionary of my Bible, and it said Jesus declared, I'm come in my Father's name. And I happened to look over there in Hebrews 1:4, and it said He was made so much better than the angels as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He inherited His name. And then it dawned on me, I inherited my name. My name's Bear because my dad's name was Bear, and his dad's name was Bear, and his dad's name was Bear. And Jesus came in His Father's name. If Jesus is the name of the Son, then it has to be the name of the Father. And then I said, now wait a minute, it said name of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And I looked, there it was. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And I got to thinking, well, why does the Holy Spirit come at the mentioning of the name of Jesus? And it dawned on me, I come when my name's called. Oh, yeah! Let me tell you, brother, the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Now when they heard this, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, quote it with me now, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Was Peter right then? If he was to walk in your church and take the mic and say those same words, would he be correct tonight? Amen. Do you believe there isn't but one name can remit sin? Amen. What is that name?
Jesus.
Luke 44:47, Acts 10:43, 1 John 2:12, Acts 2:38. Mm-hmm. What is the name above every name? Acts 4:12 and Ephesians 1:22-23. I like verse 21. It said, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, every name that's named, every name that's named, every name that's named, every name that's named, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Don't you know what that's saying? When you cross the river and make it into heaven, the name that's above every name down here will also be above every name over there. Someone said, well, I know Jesus is the highest name down here, but not over there. Jehovah God is. I beg your pardon. It's above every name that's named. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to wind it down. So some of you short sermonizing lovers, smile a while now. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. You know, Peter just got appointed head man, Keith. So he felt important. Funny what an office will do to people. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Who? Called him a devil? Just chose him to have the keys to the kingdom and the leader of his church and call him a devil? Get thee behind me, Satan! For thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter said, I quit! I'm going home. You hurt my feelings. You knew what I was before you preached like that. You took advantage of me. I'm going to go back to my fishing tree. Thank you. Sounds like some of us. We say we want to be saved, but we can't stand the Word of God. He called Peter a devil. And Peter didn't quit. If you won't be a quitter, God will make something out of you. That's the problem with some of you bitch warmers. You won't sit still long enough for the Lord to do anything to you. Get thee behind me, Satan! When we interfere with the program of God, we need to be put in our place. The evangelization of the lost in your city is the single most important function of your church. He didn't quit. He didn't get his feelings hurt. He took the rebuke and came on like a man. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'm not telling you that want to know God tonight to come because it's an easy way. You've got to refuse your own flesh. And if you're not willing to repent and do everything the Bible says to do, there's no need you wasting your time tonight. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? At this moment, you're looking quickly to getting out for the preacher to quit. You that are not right with God at the white throne of judgment would give anything. If this day in May 1984 could be replayed and you could come and sit once more and hear a preacher tell you to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Spirit, you'd say, I sold my soul for the world and it profited me nothing. If I only had another chance. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not see death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. There were a group of people alive when Jesus came into the kingdom that he set up in the hearts of his people as the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. A church began in Acts 2. Proof 11 verse 15 of Acts. Peter called it the beginning. He set up a kingdom not visible but invisible in the hearts of those who will receive him. He's in that kingdom tonight, and it is the church of the living God. There were those that did not see death until Pentecost. Friend, Pentecost is still with us. And if you want God, you'd better want Pentecost. And if you want salvation, you'd better want Pentecost. You'd better let Him set up a kingdom in your heart.
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Do you know Him? Will you receive Him by obeying the Apostles' doctrine? Let's stand together. Nobody move and go out, please, unless it's an emergency. Will you stand? Would you lay a hand on a brother, brother, sister, upon a sister, sister, unless it's family. Reach over somewhere. Pray with somebody that is close by tonight. Pray for salvation of their soul. Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pray that whatever they'll do, they'll receive the courage to do it tonight. Would you pray right now? Oh, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh. Oh. Would you step out and come if you need to surrender your life to the Lord? Would you come right now while this group of people is praying for you? Would you come in Jesus' name? Would you come and surrender to Him tonight? It's His church. Come and receive His gospel. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Would you do it? Keep praying, saints of God. Keep praying.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep praying. Would you keep praying?
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
While every head is bowed, please, for just a moment longer, and every eye closed. I've preached too long not to know the leading of the Spirit on a certain matter. There has to be at least one or maybe some present here tonight that are fighting the Apostles' doctrine, that are fighting baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit. Baptism, as defined in Acts 2:4 in the preaching of the apostles. I beg of you tonight, don't kick against the Word of God. Don't take any man's word living today if it's contrary to the Bible. Don't accept anybody's dream or revelation or personal conviction if it runs contrary to Scripture. I beg of you tonight, accept the preaching of the leadership of the apostles. For it is to them that were given the understanding to build the church of the New Testament. I beg you in Jesus' name, surrender to the preaching of the apostles. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Are there any others that would come tonight? You want to repent. You want to seek God. You want to surrender your life. Young or old. What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I love you tonight, but some of you are too money conscious, too materialistic minded. You cannot do everything God wants you to do with your life because you're wrapped up with crass materialism. I'm asking you, what does it profit you if you gain the world and lose it all? Lose your soul. It's not worth it, friend. It's not worth it. Come to Jesus tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come to Him.
Oh.
Come and surrender. Oh, I feel in the Spirit there are others here tonight. I normally don't just lengthen the altar service just to be lengthening it, but I feel so compelled in the Spirit. Come and surrender tonight. Maybe you're in the church with a visible testimony, but you know that you haven't been living like you should have been living. Let's let this be the night that you make a consecration. Come tonight. Come tonight.
Blessed
God. Every hand one more time be raised and let's pray again. Would you do it?
Oh
God, I love you.
Hallelujah.
I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, I love you, I love you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Those of you that will help these in the altar, would you make your way? I remind the saints of this church, we'll be fasting from tonight midnight until regular supper time tomorrow evening. God bless you. Come and help us pray tonight. Come and help us pray.